is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Today's stories include Procrastinators Can Win at Gift Giving, and Few Blacks to be Found at Top of Corporate Ladder. And we'll begin with Procrastinators Can Win at Gift Giving. Check the calendar. No, this isn't a dream. It really is December, and Christmas Day is staring you straight in the face. And if you celebrate Hanukkah, it's coming even sooner. Where did the holiday season go? Well, no time to reminisce now. It's down to the wire, but there are still methods to save money on your last-minute holiday purchases. Here are four simple ways to do it. Number one, jingle all the way to the store. You're not the only one still shopping. In fact, December 21st, dubbed Super Saturday because it's the last Saturday before Christmas, is expected to be the second busiest shopping day after Black Friday, according to Shopper Track data from Sensormatic Solutions. Your first instinct may be to shop online and avoid the crowded mall. But not so fast, says Christopher Newman, associate professor of marketing at the University of Mississippi. Shoppers can increase the chance that they get the right product at the best price by shopping in store rather than online just before Christmas, Newman said in an email. This ensures that they aren't limited to choosing from just the products that could ship in time for the holiday. Last-minute online shopping may also carry hefty shipping fees. December 14th is the widely accepted cutoff for Christmas ground shipping this year, according to Rob Garf, Vice President of Strategy and Insights for Retail and Consumer Goods at Salesforce. If you order online after that, you'll likely have to pay to expedite the shipment. Number two, buy online but pick up in store. If you'd rather not shop entirely at the store or entirely online, try shopping online and picking up your items at the store. In fact, buying online and retrieving your purchases from the store is a good option for shoppers, Garf said. It gives consumers the confidence that the product is going to be there, and it's going to give them the convenience that they can walk right in and pick it up, Garf said. He adds that some retailers may even extend an extra coupon or discount to shoppers who elect to buy online and pick up in store. Walmart does this. This option is also good for retailers. Retailers offering buy online, pick up in store, also known as click and collect, will drive 28% more revenue share across their industry during the 5 days before Christmas compared with those that don't, according to the 2019 Salesforce Holiday Insights and Predictions. Retailers also know shoppers may be tempted to purchase additional items when they show up at the store. Number three, pick private label presents. Purchase method aside, if you also want to consider which items are on your gift list, when you have limited time to shop, it's wise to narrow down your choices. Instead of sticking to your original plan, consider switching to less expensive presents. Certain items are known to be cheaper just before Christmas, such as toys or previous model electronics that didn't sell well throughout the season. You can also save money by changing the brands you buy. Consumers can get particularly good deals on a retailer's own private label, for instance. Think the Kindle and Echo products from Amazon or the Kirkland Signature line at Costco. Private label products are already generally 15% to 20% cheaper than their national brand counterparts. But shoppers can save even more around Christmas, Newman said. Retailers can offer better deals on their private label brands than on national brands because their profit margins are higher on private labels to begin with. Number four, pounce on limited time sales. The fact that you've waited to shop until the final days before Christmas doesn't surprise retailers. Newman says they know many shoppers delay, so they offer last-minute savings opportunities. Be on the lookout for these types of promotions. They may be announced in advance, such as 7 days of deals leading up to Christmas, or they may be spur-of-the-moment flash sales that happen without notice. Shoppers usually have to be vigilant and proactive in order to act upon last-minute flash sales, Newman said. Regularly check your email, social media, and retailer websites to locate these if they're announced. And whatever you do, remember that now is the time to start springing into action. And next, few blacks to be found at top of corporate ladder. It is no secret the corporate world has a diversity problem. A company where everyone brings fresh and exciting ideas to the table and has equal opportunity to succeed is the dream for many executives. And a lack of diversity in the top ranks consistently places high on the list of roadblocks keeping that dream from being realized. When it comes to African Americans in the corporate world, the situation looks especially grim. Only four companies in the Fortune 500, Merck & Company, TIAA, Tapestry, and Lowe's, now have a black chief executive, down from seven less than a decade ago. Experts are scratching their heads about why corporate efforts to bring more women into the executive ranks have made progress in recent years, while increased racial diversity has remained stubbornly out of reach. But a new report makes clear that current methods are either accomplishing too little or are not working at all. The report, Being Black in Corporate America, comes from the Center for Talent Innovation, a nonprofit group focused on workplace diversity and is sponsored by large companies including Morgan Stanley, Pfizer, and Disney. The center surveyed 3,736 full-time professionals of all races and found that today's diversity and inclusion efforts are failing African-American professionals. If corporate America wants to create a more equitable and inclusive workplace, the report concludes it needs not a Band-Aid, but an intervention. Here are highlights of what the authors say is at stake. Black millennial brain drain. The study found that only 8% of people employed in white-collar professions are black, and the proportion falls sharply at higher rungs of the corporate ladder, especially when jumping from middle management to the executive level. Doubts about the effectiveness of current diversity and inclusion programs are driving more black professionals to give up on the corporate ladder and pursue autonomy and their own businesses instead. Despite being ambitious, having strong professional networks, and being career-driven, black professionals face slow career advancement, which makes them more likely to leave. the report notes. The study found generational differences in those attitudes. Baby boomers and Gen Xers tend to be more comfortable with the status quo than millennials. According to the survey, black millennials are more likely than the black professionals who came before them to feel they have a responsibility to represent their race, and they are more likely to feel they should bring authentic selves to the office. They're also more likely to be dreaming about leaving their current job if the one they have does not offer fair and ample opportunities for growth, creating the risk of a costly brain drain. Hierarchies among black employees. Black professionals do not want to be lumped under the umbrella of people of color. Not only does it flatten their experience within the water pool of underrepresented groups, the study says it assumes all black people in the workplace experience it in the same way. The black immigrant population in the United States has increased fivefold since 1980, and black immigrants often have different perspectives than American-born black people on what it means to be black in America. According to the report, white people tend to prefer and give better opportunities to Caribbeans over African Americans, and African Americans are more likely than immigrants from Africa to say that colleagues have underestimated their intelligence. Full-time professionals of Afro-Caribbean descent are more likely than those with African or African American roots to have access to senior corporate leaders, the study found. Heritage shapes black professionals' experience of the workplace in profound ways, the report says, contributing to hierarchies that are rarely discussed. Talent gets left behind. A Pew Research Center survey this year found that half of white Americans agreed with the statement, "There is too much attention paid to race and racial issues in our country these days." The new study cites the finding repeatedly to reinforce one of its major points, that while most black professionals are keenly aware of inequities that slow their advancement, many of their white peers are largely ignorant of them. Black professionals surveyed for the study were more likely than white professionals to say that the primary beneficiaries of diversity and inclusion efforts have been white women, and very few respondents, including white employees, think that white women are using their power to advocate for other underrepresented groups, the report notes. The study argues that the measures that have achieved some success in addressing gender discrimination in the workplace may not work on racial discrimination, in part because white employees tend not to understand the challenges faced by black coworkers as well as they do those faced by women. Focusing on women first echoes Angela Davis's account of the history of the feminist movement, in which white women consistently deprioritized issues of race, the report notes, referring to the longtime political activist, academic, and author. Employee resource groupthink. Race is still a third rail, an unwelcome and dangerous subject in many corporate settings, the study says. Employee resource groups may offer a safe space for black professionals and other underrepresented groups to talk about workplace issues, the authors say, but too often that is where the conversations end. Black employees go back to their desk feeling that the burden remains on them to make white coworkers comfortable with their presence and aware of their unique experiences, the authors say. And black employees are still asked to offer solutions to solve their own problems. The study recommends that companies conduct audits of how black employees are faring and feeling, and then take steps to address mismatches in perception of racial equality between employees of different races. That, the authors argue, will lay the necessary groundwork for the company's diversity and inclusion programs to be more successful. And next, Cary Town Center gets okay for zoning change to allow hotel and apartments. Instead of just going shopping, Cary residents will be able to live, work, play, and shop at Cary Town Center in the future. The town council voted to rezone the mall property for mixed use Thursday night, paving the way for up to 1.2 million square feet of office space, 360,000 square feet of commercial space, 450 hotel rooms, and 1,800 apartments and townhouses to be built on the site. Council member Jennifer Robinson said the preliminary plan is much better than the last two proposed for the site, including one from Top Golf in 2015. I am absolutely thrilled that this is coming to what my daughter refers to as the dying mall, she said. This is going to be such a vast improvement, and it's going to be so good for our area. The mall, built in 1979 and last redeveloped in 1992, was bought in January by Turnbridge Equities and Denali Properties. The purchase cost the partner companies $31.5 million. It currently has 1 million square feet of commercial buildings and 2 million square feet of parking and circulation. The preliminary development plan includes the option to reuse the buildings that house the Belk store and what used to be the Sears store. Turnbridge makes some changes to its plan because of council and citizen concerns, including planting at least 1,100 trees, a 7-acre reduction in impervious surfaces so that don't let water soak into the ground, and at least 10 acres of green space, a pedestrian hybrid beacon, a crosswalk feature where a person clicks a button to activate a red stoplight that briefly stops traffic on Manor Road to make crossings to and from Cary High School safer, improved streetscapes on Walnut Street and Carytown Boulevard, pedestrian and bike accommodations. We're looking forward to realizing this plan to ensure the property reaches its full potential, said Jason Davis, managing director at New York-based Turnbridge Equities. A vibrant mixed-use environment that enhances the quality of life for the community, attracts new businesses and jobs to Cary, and serves as a destination for those throughout the Research Triangle. The town council approved the rezoning of the 87-acre site housing the mall and the surrounding area unanimously after months of debate about whether the plan fits into Cary's 2040 community plan. The initial proposal did not include the 11.3-acre Dillard site, which includes the store building and parking lot. The application was updated in June, however, and now includes the Dillard's property at 1105 Walnut Street. While there hasn't been much opposition at council meetings, some residents have expressed concerns about losing trees and having something similar to North Hills, which features densely packed high-rise buildings and shops and restaurants. We have to be very careful with this precious land, Pat Witt, a Cary resident of more than 50 years, said at an August meeting, "There's no more." At Thursday's meeting, council members and town employees praised Turnbridge's work to address concerns. Matt Flynn, the town's stormwater development manager, said the real estate firm worked with stormwater experts, an environmental advisory board, NC State faculty and staff from the town of Cary, and NC Department of Environmental Quality. Jack Smith, council member of District C, where Cary Town Center is located, said he has been worried about the developments contributing to flooding, but that Turnbridge fully considered residents' concerned emails. Council member Ed Yerha was worried that the 1,100 trees won't be enough, but hoped the developer would make good use of them. Turnbridge said it will release more details early next year. Its next step is submitting a development plan for approval. Maybe to some, we've not reached the perfect product, said Councilmember Smith, but it's hard to imagine expecting an amenity more than this. And next, UNC Charlotte shooting survivor wins grant for Apex Dog Rescue. Lily was abandoned before Peak Lab Rescue got her. Then the small terrier, schnauzer, Labrador, Shih Tzu mutt was adopted last year on Christmas Day by Drew Pescaro. He wanted a dog to help him with his anxiety. His parents told him to look around at other dogs before making a quick decision on Lily, but he already knew she was the one. 4 months later in Apex, Pescaro was one of six students shot on UNC Charlotte's campus. He was shot in the back and spent 27 days recovering in the hospital. Lily bounced around from home to home, either staying with some of Pescaro's fraternity brothers or his fiancée, Erin Wilson. But when Pescaro got out of the hospital and arrived back at his parents' house in Fuquay Varina, Lily was waiting on him. May 27th was the day that I finally got to see her again for the first time, and I haven't let go of her since, he said Thursday. Because of Lily's impact on him, Pescaro's work to pay the favor back to Peak Lab Rescue. On Thursday, that meant a $50,000 check for the Apex Rescue Group from the Petco Foundation. Lily gave Pescaro a routine each day and someone to talk to that didn't need to hear the story of the shooting again. It sounds crazy, but she's a good person to talk to, he said. His dad, Edward, now says that it was obvious Drew made the right choice with Lily. They're inseparable, he said. She has been really great for him. In August, Pescaro spoke at a news conference in the state legislative building in downtown Raleigh and showed the scars on his abdomen advocating for a debate on gun control laws in North Carolina. Afterward, his fiancée thought it would be nice to reach out to Peak to tell them how much Lily has helped Drew get along. Sharon Jessner, Peak's director of development, thought it was such an amazing story that she reached back out to Drew and asked whether he would write in to the Petco Foundation Holiday Wishes campaign. Holiday Wishes is the foundation's annual campaign that awards exceptional animal welfare organizations across the country with grants that go anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000. Adopters send in their stories of how their pet has brought joy to their life, and the foundation chooses 55 winners. Karen Meter from the Petco Foundation said that the grant campaign is a way to give back to adoption organizations. We just want to showcase to the public how important and how meaningful the adoption of a pet can be, and we really want to inspire the community to think adoption first. Meter said that they cried when they first read Drew's story. How Lily pulled him through, that meant so much to us, she said. PEAK Lab Rescue was one of four organizations to win a $50,000 prize, which Jester said will go a long way for them. Their group of employees screamed when the amount of the check was revealed Thursday. The group keeps around 80 to 100 dogs in its system at a time and just had its 7,000th dog adopted. But that doesn't mean we don't get by on slim margins, Jester said. The group uses around 900 pounds of dog food every month and had to take in more dogs than usual last year after the hurricanes. It's kind of thankless work, Jester said, but this validates what we do. Along with the grant to PEAK Lab Rescue, Pescaro and Lily got their own gifts. He got a new pair of Bob shoes, a partner with Petco Foundation for the Holiday Wishes campaign, and a $500 shopping spree for his dog. Pescaro said that she liked bones, so he wanted to get her the biggest one possible to see her try to carry it around. He and Aaron also used the spree to buy a Panthers jersey for Lily, fish and chicken-flavored dog food, a toothbrush and toothpaste, and plenty of toys. They even let Lily decide on some of the items, holding out squeaky toys until she picked which one she liked the best. Sitting in a new bed and a shopping cart, she either laid her head down on the ones she didn't want or bit into them if she liked them. She chose a purple one. Pescaro just finished his first semester back at UNCC since the shooting and said that with the support of his friends and family, it went well. He works for the school's football team and is going to their bowl game in the Bahamas. He became the fundraising chair of his fraternity and even got to play flag football again. And after the announcement on Thursday morning, he got another surprise when Tiffany Franchi from PEAK Lab Rescue offered her wedding planning services to him and his fiancé Wilson for free. And next, Mellon Foundation pulls $1.5 million grant over Silent Sam. UNC Chapel Hill lost $1.5 million in grant money from a major research donor after the $2.5 million Silent Sam settlement between the UNC system and the NC Sons of Confederate Veterans. The Andrew W. Mellon Foundation withdrew an anticipated grant to UNC when it learned the university would allocate $2.5 million to the Son of the Confederacy to endow a fund to maintain and display the Confederate statue. The founder's director of communications, Laura Washington, said in a statement on Friday. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The contents of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.